Amen. Last week we were covering quite a few things that were going to happen, prophesied to happen leading up to the second coming of Jesus, and I'll just very quickly run through those. There was about 20 plus things. First of all, the temple will be destroyed. Jesus was talking to his disciples about that as they walked along, and within 40 years that had happened, completely destroyed. Most of these prophecies, if you remember from Matthew 24, and also other parts of the New Testament and the Old Testament as well, from Daniel and Zechariah and one or two other places. The second thing that we reminded was that there's false Christs and false religions would arise as we come towards the last days. There'd be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be famines, floods and droughts and all sorts of things happening on the earth. There'd be earthquakes, which seem to be increasing. Be persecution and martyrdom of Christians, which happened with all the apostles, except apparently Apostle John. And it's happened ever since, right through and through into today. It seems to be increasing again. The false prophets will deceive many. There's a lot of prophecy over the years and prophets and a lot of people that gather a following and people that claim to be Jesus and have the answer and the way and all the rest of it. We just need to be very aware. We need to have discernment in these days that we don't go following off after the latest fad, and that even happens in Christianity. We've got to be on guard against these things. That's why Jesus warned us of these things. And there'll be an increase of wickedness and particularly immorality. We've seen that happen. It'd be like in the days of Lot, when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. That's what Jesus warned us. There'd be a falling away from the faith, which is a little bit discouraging, but I guess in Western cultures we see that happening. There'd be roaring and tossing of the sea, even the sea and all of creation is going to be, it's just sort of struggling as we come towards the return of Jesus. And Jerusalem, of course, is a major sign in the nation of Israel. God's people are back in their land after almost 2,000 years. Right now, Jerusalem is under the control of the Jewish people again, and that's a miracle in itself. It's an incredible sign in our generation, in our day. Also, we prophesied that the sun will be darkened and the moon turned to blood. We talked about that. And the gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. That's an important one and something that we need to have a part of. We talked about that at Life Groups this week, that we have got a responsibility to get God's love out there to people right around the world. Also, we looked at the last kingdom that was prophesied to come. Daniel talked about that, and Jesus and others through the New Testament talked about the last kingdom, when we're just going to have 10 parts, 10 kings come to power. The leader of that kingdom will emerge, and he will be known as the Antichrist or the Beast. It's just a symbolic picture of his evil and intent and the evil reign that he will have. At the beginning of his reign, with ruling over these 10 kings in the whole earth, in fact, he will get a peace treaty signed and everything will seem very peaceful. With Israel in particular, there will be peace in that region of the Middle East, which seems very unlikely right now, but that's what's prophesied, so something to watch out for. If there's suddenly peace and everything looks like it's roses and everything's okay, just be aware that it could be the fulfillment of this prophecy. But after 3.5 years, he breaks the treaty and the Great Tribulation begins. And that's when he sets himself up as God in the temple, in the east wing of the temple. And that is the abomination that causes desolation. We talked about that last week. That's the last straw for God, when somebody sets himself up in his temple, in his place, claiming to be God. And that's the beginning of God's wrath poured out in the last 3.5 year period. The first thing that will happen is that the daily sacrifices will be stopped, and which means that actually the daily sacrifices must have been reinstated, which is not the case right now, and the temple must be rebuilt. A couple of things to watch out for in Jerusalem, and it will be rebuilt on that site. The old site, and So something that we need to be aware of. It could probably happen very quickly. There's a lot of talk that people are already planning and preparing for the rebuilding of that temple, but we'll just have to wait and see. And of course, then there's Babylon, the mystery. Will the city of Babylon be rebuilt, or is it just a figurative Babylon referring to the money and power and false worship that was associated with that city back in the time of Nebuchadnezzar? And that spirit is still very much alive. Something to look out for. Will that city actually be rebuilt and become a physical entity and a physical power and influence, or is it just a figurative thing that's happening? We talked about that. The mark of the beast, which is the mark that the Antichrist requires us to all have so that we can buy and sell. And if we're still here, what do we do? If we're still here and we're required to have that mark to buy and sell, what are we warned about? Do we get it? No, do not get the mark under any circumstances. We're warned 5 times in the book of Revelation, do not get that mark, because it's associated. It's not just about buying and selling. It's associated with the worship of this Antichrist beast character. So that's why we must not get that. And if we are here, it's going to mean a very challenging and difficult time if we can't buy and sell. But by God's grace, we've got to trust and look to Him, and hopefully we won't be here. Then, of course, there's that 666, which is associated with that whole worship and money thing and the identity of the Antichrist. Also, the heavenly bodies, even the whole universe will be shaken in that time. This last period is the great tribulation. It will be the worst time that the earth has ever experienced. Probably apart from Noah's flood, it'll be almost along with that. The universe will be shaken, and the stars will fall from the sky. It will appear like even the stars are falling out of the sky. And at that point, Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies. This is right towards the very finish. And then the great of the dreadful day of the Lord happens when Jesus steps in and stops all the destruction and all the madness and all the mayhem, and it overcomes the Antichrist. That's the moment that we're looking forward to. And looking at that list that we went through last week, we can see that many of those things have already happened. Some of them are happening and in process, which gives a lot of credibility to both the Old Testament prophets, especially Daniel, and the prophecies that Jesus himself made. When someone prophesies things, you know, the test of a prophet is accuracy. The Bible tells us to test prophecy, and I think we can be pretty confident that what's written in God's Word and what was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets, particularly Daniel and Zechariah and Joel and men of God like that, and Jesus himself, we can look and we can see, hey, this and this, and a big chunk of those things have happened exactly, and that was all unknown when they prophesied it. And unlikely that all those things would happen, but many of them have. So gives us a little bit of confidence to be sure that the last few things that are still to happen will also be fulfilled. The only problem is that some of those things are a little bit scary and probably not the sorts of things that we actually want to experience. And especially when you consider that for many of those things, there's not much that we can actually do about them, especially things like earthquakes, which would be people that have lived through the Christchurch earthquake, and there's a lot of trauma. It's not just a bit of fun. I mean, I've never really been through much of an earthquake. I wish I'd sort of experienced one, but everybody that has been through anything like that, they're traumatized. I know I've got friends that were down there in Christchurch through that. They just had to move their family out because they weren't sleeping. There was a lot of... It's a difficult thing to go through some of this stuff, and there's not much we can do about it if we happen to be where something's happening. The roaring and tossing of the sea, we can't do much about that, except perhaps not go surfing or fishing that day. Wars and rumors of wars, we can't do much about that. We can pray, of course, for these things. The sun will be darkened and the moon will be turned to blood and the rise of the Antichrist. We can't do much about any of that. Most of it's outside of our control. But through all of this, I think we need to understand that our response to all of this is our choice. And you know, we can live in fear, we can be all stressed and worried about it, or we can be like Delhi, and we can have actually a sense of excitement that beyond all of this, there's some good things that are going to happen when Jesus returns and his kingdom is set up on this earth for 1,000 years, and then that's only the beginning. There's so much more good stuff that's going to come after that. So our response is our choice. Let's be like Delhi, and let's look forward to a little bit of anticipation and a sense of excitement rather than dread and fear. And the other thing too, I was talking to Roger about their life group, and of course we were discussing some of the stuff in our life groups this week. And Roger and Christine's life group, they were reminding each other that the hard times are compared to birth pains in the Bible. And you know, the birth pains as you get closer to having a baby, they increase intensity and frequency. And it's going to be like that as we get towards the end. There's going to be an increase of intensity of all this sort of stuff going on. But after the birth pains and the difficult time, you know, a baby is born. And that's something awesome. And the pain is forgotten because something so much better comes as a result of the process, and the blessing comes. And I think as Christians, we need to realize that God is on the throne. Jesus has got awesome plans, and there's some great things in front of us. And I actually believe we're really, really privileged to live in the day that we're living in, and to be able to see and experience some of the stuff that we're seeing and experiencing even right now. It's awesome and it's scary, but it's also quite exciting. And so I think that's a great way to look at it. And well done, Roger and Christine's life group. That's a good, positive way to look at things. In our life group, I think we realized that especially with some of these things, you know, the falling away and the increase of wickedness and just the world that we live in and all the temptation that we're surrounded with, it's actually not easy to live these days as a Christian in isolation. And one thing that we really realize, it's not a time to be dropping out of church and out of fellowship and out of relationship with God's people. It's actually a time where we need more than ever to be committed to God's house, to his church, to his family. We need to be coming under accountability. That gives us safety against all the false prophecy and stuff like that, because we're a part of a group where there's all the giftings of the Holy Spirit. That's why God gives us those things. There's discernment, there's you know, leadership, there's accountability, and it works right across the board. And God's people are safe. We'll be safe through this time, provided actually that we stick together. And that's a real key part of why Jesus is building his church, and he wants us to be a part of his church, because it was never his plan for Christians to be living in isolation and doing their own thing and missing out on that community and that whole aspect that church brings into our life. I need it, you guys need it, we all need it, and we're going to need it more and more, actually, as the birth pains increase and as we get towards the end. Otherwise, there's a great risk that we will fall away. And sometimes, I mean, we've made our choice and we ourselves won't fall away, but we'll be watching in dismay, you know, down the track as the next generation falls away. And I've seen that happen so many times that it's a tragedy. So I just want to say to you guys, hang in there, stay strong for God, stay strong for his church, stay in the house of God, and there will be safety in that, and there's a covering in that. There's something that, it's a mystery, I don't fully understand it, but it's just the way that God wants it to be, and that's the way it is, and we need to understand that. That was just some of the stuff we touched on in our life group. But as well as the scary negative side to all of this, and I want to finish on this today. And last week I was thinking it would be the last one in the series, but as we were in worship, I just really felt quite clearly that God was saying, no, there's a little bit more yet to encourage people with. And that's the positive side of, and we've touched on some of that, but that's what I want to end this series on. Daniel talked about this in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and this is what he said. This was when he had, when he was interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream of all the kingdoms of the world that were to come. This is what Daniel said in Daniel 2, verse 44. In the time of those kings, in the time of those kingdoms, in the time of all the negative stuff that's going to happen, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Never be destroyed. And we need to remember that. And it will endure forever. That's what Daniel said. And see, that's pretty exciting, isn't it, to think that, you know, we can look at all the turmoil and all the negativity and all the bad stuff that's going on, but in the midst of it, God by His Spirit is working. And so Daniel gave us that little bit of encouragement, and Jesus talked a lot about that kingdom, actually, when He was on earth and during His ministry. One of His main themes was the kingdom of God, and He talked about how that kingdom is within us. And in Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to be encouraged that, you know, in spite of all that's going on, God is at work and His church is being built. He's bringing people together. He's got an awesome plan for us and for all the nations of the earth. And that is happening in tandem with all the negativity that we see around us that's going on as well. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and explained to the crowds in Jerusalem what was happening. Remember, the Holy Spirit was poured out. They were speaking, there was tongues of fire. They were speaking in tongues, and the people looked and they thought they were drunk. And it was and Peter got up, and we're going to read that this morning, and we're going to focus a little bit on what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, and we'll read right from verse 14 this morning. Have we got the words for that? That's cool. Acts chapter 2 from verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. The others were with him. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. And there were thousands of people there. It was the Feast of Pentecost. It was a big weekend in Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of people were there. They saw what was going on. They heard the noise of the wind, the rushing wind, and they were all wondering what was going on. They saw these guys under the power of the Holy Spirit and thought they must be drunk. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you, Peter said. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so Peter took them straight back to the prophecies of the Old Testament that actually they would have been very familiar with. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Now that's, for a Jewish mind, that was a really challenging thought. So just hold that thought for a moment. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. You see here, it's the great and glorious day, not the great and terrible day. It depends whether you're ready or not. If we're not ready for Jesus when He comes back, it's going to be a dreadful day because it's too late. But if we're ready, it's going to be an awesome, exciting, glorious day. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's interesting when Peter is quoting from the prophet Joel, he defines the limits of the church age. And he says, today, on the day of Pentecost, back that the church age began. And when he finishes, he doesn't actually quote the whole of Joel chapter 2, he cuts it off a little bit, and which talks about when Jesus comes back to Mount Zion, and it, because that part relates to the Jewish people and not to the church. So it's interesting that actually Peter defines the limits of the church age that we still are living in when he talked about that prophecy, but he cuts it off halfway through the verse. Something to think about and look at. And because you see, God is dealing differently with the church than what he is with the nation of Israel. And some of the prophecies relate specifically to Israel, and some of them are more specifically for the church. And so that's what Peter's doing. He's defining the limits of the church age. And that actually gives me a little bit of confidence that some of this stuff we're not going to have to live through, because Jesus is going to take us out before it actually happens, because the last part is particularly for God's people, the Jews. But in verse 17, we're just going to run through this and quickly look at it, that in the last days, it's interesting that Peter takes this prophecy and he says it's beginning now. That was a couple of thousand years ago, the last days began. And God's promises that in the last days he will pour out his spirit. Was it to be on a select few? Was it just on his chosen people, the Jews? No. It's on all people. And as I mentioned as we went through, this is a total shift for the Jews. I mean, they couldn't get their head around, because they were the chosen people. They were the only ones. You see, up until then, it was exclusively about Israel, and it was exclusively about the priests and the kings were the ones who received the Holy Spirit. Not all the Jews received the anointing and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. It was only a select few. The prophets that we read about, and then the kings and the leaders and people like Moses and specific special ones were the ones that received the Holy Spirit. That's the way it had been for the last thousand or couple of thousand years previously. But this is a complete change. We need to understand this. This is a complete change to anything that had ever happened before, and it began on the day of Pentecost. And it's still happening today, but it will soon come to an end. And we need to be aware of that. And now it's for all people, and it gets quite specific there, including your sons and your daughters. See, back in the Jewish culture, the girls didn't get much of a look in. It was a very male-oriented thing, especially their areas of faith. Young men and old men. Wasn't just for the elders or the senior guys anymore. It was for the young guys and the old guys, and for the sons and the daughters. It was for all of them. But it didn't end there. Even on servants, both men and women. I mean, there was a class distinction back then that we can't even begin to imagine. And it was only the select few that actually received the blessings. It was only the select few even. You had to be a Jew, and you had to be a healthy one and a male to be able to go and worship God properly even. And it's a little bit like what Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 and Galatians 3, verse 28, where he says it's no longer about being a Jew or a Greek. It's no longer about whether you're a slave or free, whether you're male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, we sit here and we take that for granted. We understand that. We know that women are included, that young and children and old guys, we're all a part of this. But we need to realize that it hasn't always been like this. And this change and this shift came on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus began the church. This was a whole new era in world history that began that day. And from that day on, God's kingdom, God's salvation, God's Holy Spirit, God's family, which of course is his church, is available for anyone that wants to be a part of it. It's not just for a select few anymore. And all we have to do to be a part of it is to seek, to knock, and to ask, And God's word promises that Jesus will open the door, doesn't it? It's available for anybody, and including everybody else in this community of Raglan and everybody else in the nations of the world that haven't accepted him yet. It's available for anyone, and as Jesus opens the door, he'll say, come on in. Come on into my family. Come on into my house. Come on, receive the salvation. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive all the blessings of heaven and eternal. Isn't that amazing? That's what God is offering us. And to a Jewish mind, they couldn't get their heads around this because it's not the way it had been for thousands of years, and it had been so exclusive, but now it wasn't. The other thing that we need to realize is that, and many of you would probably know this, but Pentecost was a Jewish feast to celebrate the beginning of harvest. This time, Pentecost, and it was very significant that the church began on the day of Pentecost, because it was, as well as celebrating the beginning of harvest, it was celebrating the beginning of Christianity coming and people coming into God's family in a completely different way. And it was the beginning of harvest that they celebrated on the day of Pentecost. And on that day, 3,000 people, after Peter had preached and they saw the other disciples and the apostles and what God was doing in their midst, and the Holy Spirit was at work. On that day, the first day of the church, 3,000 people believed, they were saved and baptized in one day. Isn't that incredible? A great start for this whole new era known as the church age. And so it was a celebration, actually, of the beginning of the church and God's whole new plan. That was just so awesome. And we can be a part of it. But that's not all. The interesting thing is that the feast to celebrate the end of harvest, which came a few months later, because harvest didn't just happen in a day. It would begin, and then there'd be different crops would come in at different times, and it would take a few months for all the harvest to be completed and all of it to be gathered in. And so they had this feast at the beginning and the celebration at the beginning, because you know God had blessed them with another year, and if the crops failed, they wouldn't be able to survive. But their crops were successful, so they'd celebrate the harvest that was coming in, and at the end of it, they had a huge celebration, because they'd had months of harvest by now, and the vats were full, the granaries were full, the barns were full, and they could relax and celebrate. And they had another year to look forward to of health and prosperity. And so that's why they had this special feast at the end of harvest, and it was called the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. And it was a bigger feast than Pentecost, understandably. And as we approach the end of the age, what we need to understand is the symbolism here is that as the birth pains increase and the agony increases and the tragedies increase and all the trauma increases, also will the ingathering increase. And as we approach the end of the age, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit will increase. That's what this means. You know, what happened on the day of Pentecost was pretty awesome, but that was just a little taste compared to what is going to happen as we get closer to the end. And so will the ingathering into God's family increase, and the church will increase. There's going to be, you know, we need to understand that there's two things happening in tandem as we come towards the end of the age. And it's not all bad. There's a lot of good stuff that's going on. Right now, all around the world, some amazing things are happening. Some amazing, incredible things are happening. And a lot of it we don't even know about fully, because it's happening in closed countries where it's too dangerous for people to communicate and get out. But God's Spirit is being poured out right now, right around the world, in some of the most unlikely places, actually. In parts of Africa and Asia and the Middle East, and areas that there really hasn't been much of a Christian witness in recent years, but things are happening. There's a And there's a huge revival, actually, that's happening around the world, and a huge gathering, even in the Muslim world. Now, we had a DVD, and we got it. Cool, the guys have got it. I just want you to watch this little DVD. Basil found this and forwarded it on to me. He said, oh, this could be interesting. This is just a little glimpse of some of the stuff that's happening in the Muslim world. It's 5 or 6 minutes, and we'll see how we go. Okay. Obviously, that was recorded before Osama bin Laden was got. I think it was just last year. It was probably 2014, I think, that recording was made. That's something we're not going to hear on the news, on TV. You know, God is at work. All we hear on the news is all the negativity and the chaos and the bad stuff, and we can see that aligning with the prophecies. But we need to remember there's this whole other aspect of the pouring out of God's Spirit in these days as well. So there's one overlaps the other. So even and as things get worse, I believe God works more and more. You know, as things get closer to the end, and there's more and more negativity, there's going to also be more and more of God's love being outpoured on people as we get to that. Those final birth pains of Jesus returning again. So it's not all doom and gloom. What about us here in Raglan? Are we willing to do what it takes? I mean, that guy is willing to lay down his life for his people, his countrymen, the Muslims, the people of Egypt and Saudi Arabia and all the rest of it. What about us? Are we willing to do what it takes? Because I think it's really up to us. What happens here in New Zealand, what happens here in our community, what happens here in Raglan. I think if we're complacent and we don't care too much, as long as we're okay and get in our little holy huddle and forget about the rest of the world, well, things in Raglan here are just going to get worse and worse. But if we really get serious about making a difference and being the change, I believe God's plan is actually that this place will be a blessed place. In a different place, with a different spirit to some of the other places in the world where things are going to get worse and worse and harder and harder. And I think it's up to people like that guy there and us to be the change and to make a difference. And are we inviting people to church? I put that challenge out a few weeks ago. Are we doing this be the change thing of blessing people? In Hebrews 10, verse 24, we're encouraged to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and not just let things crumble away before our eyes. Because I believe we've got a responsibility now, more so than ever, actually, to stand up and be counted, and to have some courage, to be willing to put our testimonies in the local paper. And then have people watch us as we make mistakes or whatever and criticize us, but too bad. You know, we've got to be willing to pray. We've got to be willing to be helpful and generous to people regardless. And let's spur one another on. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. Do not lose your saltiness." That was the warning that he gave the disciples. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Marion, do you want to come and share a little bit about what you and the welcoming team guys have been doing over the last few weeks about being the change?
Thanks. Well, I wanted to start this little project with the welcoming team for the month of June. So we took the opportunity to use this book. Do you remember seeing this? Pastor Roger held it up a few weeks back, probably 4 weeks back at the beginning of June. So I took the opportunity to start our project from this little book. And so what we want to do is think about other people, like, you know, we're getting the gist of this, right? Over and above what we normally would do. And then you know, when someone does something nice for you, it's really easy to talk about it. But when you do something nice for someone else, you don't really talk about it. So I encourage the team to tell me what they've been doing. And then I've been putting it in an email every week and sending it to the team. So we all know all the kind things are happening. And we use it as encouragement and inspiration so that we can come up with ideas of how, you know, like, oh, I don't know how to do something, I'm so busy, or I don't have a lot of finances or whatever. We've got all these ideas to encourage us to look for opportunities and be kind and be a blessing. So I have some of our stories, and I'm going to read out what our team has been doing over the month of June. And this is only what people have told me about. There's so much that happens from within, well, even just within our welcoming team, let alone the rest of you guys, what's happening to be a blessing. So in the first week, I sent out some ideas from this book. But before I even finished composing that email, I had already heard about what people on our welcoming team were doing already for other people. So there was a friend of a lady who had major surgery, and their clothes just hurt them and they were uncomfortable. So this friend's raised some money amongst other friends to buy that person some new clothes so that they can be comfortable while they recover from surgery. So that's one really thoughtful thing to do, that when a lot of people pull together, it can make a bigger difference than just one person donating a little bit of money. There's a beggar who was, rather than given money, purchased a sandwich for lunch. New pajamas have been purchased for the Foster Care Foundation for foster kids who don't have clothes, or they're just removed in what they're wearing and they don't have pajamas where they go. So somebody's purchased a pile of pajamas for foster kids. Like, this is before we even get started. You guys are amazing. And then week two, we've got people making time for people just to sit and listen. You know, like, how busy are we to actually really sit and listen to how people are doing, and even having encouraging conversations about Jesus. So that was great. We've got younger members of our welcoming team looking after new kids at school, so they don't feel like coming into a new school. They've got a friend straight away, which is really cool. We've got someone who's loaned one of their cars to someone for quite a while their other car was in the garage. So that's really cool. That we've got soup being made. We've got groceries being done for elderly neighbours. We've got dinners being shouted when you're out and about, and, oh, I'm buying dinner. Can I buy you dinner? Bible being purchased for a new Christian. Someone's bought a kitten, paid the asking price, but then also took donuts and coffee. That'd be cool. You can come and buy kittens if I had kittens. A donation to... So this is the next week. Donations to Christians for Israel to help Jewish refugees from East Ukraine go home to Israel. Cool. Home kill meat given to a single mum. Neighbours looking after property. And in one case, a neighbour looking after a whole farm while they're away for a month. A card being made for a new Christian with photos from their baptism, scriptures to encourage them in their walk with Jesus. That's really thoughtful. More pyjamas being purchased for foster children. Nice surprises left in letter boxes. Muffins baked for a busy mum who had extra kids to look after that afternoon. Just thoughtful. Someone's got more kids. Oh, I'll make them some muffins. Dinner's been made. Homeless person having food purchased for them and coffee. Treats being purchased or made for workmates to enjoy. Encouraging texts have been sent. Someone said that they had a library book that was damaged while in their care, and they were honest about it to the librarian. Oh, that's pretty cool, I guess. Yeah, it's easy just to post it in the returns box. Coffee's been shouted. So this is just what I've heard about. This is just what I've been emailed. There's so many good things that have been happening in June, and you guys are really great. But I just want to add, there's a lesson that I've learned with being busy, is to be prepared. And there was one week where I wanted to bake something for the guys working on a roof, of my neighbour's roof, and I wanted to bake them something so that they had something for afternoon tea. And I just wasn't getting it fit into my day. I had the ingredients, I just couldn't get it done. So somebody stopped to listen to me, and it was my lovely neighbour. And I said, I just can't get it done. And she goes, give me 15 minutes. 20 minutes later, warm scones delivered to me to deliver to them. Like, how kind is that? So that I can be a blessing discreetly. You know, I just thought, I was blown away by that. So a lesson for me is about being prepared. And so in the following weeks, I was more prepared. And that's how I want to encourage everyone here today, is that you can do something kind for anyone on your budget, whether you have a budget or not, using what you've got at home or whatever, and think, be thoughtful and be prepared. And another story I shared with the welcoming team was I made chips and dip, and I thought, I'm going to just take a treat and I'll share it with my workmates, and then I get to have some too. So it was a kind of a double whammy. Maybe I had myself really on my mind. I don't know. But when I got to the daycare, I thought, take some chips in here. And I thought, well, then there'll be less for my workmates. But I did it anyway. I took some chips in. It's no big deal. Just guys, here's some chips for the teachers at daycare. And they were so stoked they made me a card. I just didn't expect them to be that stoked. But that's cool. And then when I got to work, I've got a bag of chips and dips for my workmates. And then, because there's a garage, a mechanic garage, and I thought, take it into the garage. So, but I'm really looking forward to this. Well, who is it about, Marion? Is it about you? No. So I took it into the garage, gave my chips and dips to the guys at the garage who apparently inhaled it on their morning tea break. But I was prepared. And that's how I want to encourage you, is be prepared.
Yeah, so we don't just have to sit around and feel sad and discouraged, do we? There's an opportunity for us, actually, to be the change right here, right now. And as well as supporting those that are going out around the world, all over the place. I just wanted to encourage you guys, as we do this, there's a bit in the Bible about casting your bread on many waters. Now, let's not just limit ourselves to one or two needy people that we might know right now, because there's a whole community here. And like Marion said, she had her focus on her workmates, and in the process, it was the guys at the garage and the guys at the daycare that benefited. I believe we need to be, we've begun this, but let's broaden our outlook a little bit to people that we've never ever thought might appreciate something, even just, and it doesn't have to be expensive. And some of us think, well, we haven't got much to come and go on, we're only just making it through the week. I want to encourage you guys, if you want to break through and out of that, start being generous. Start giving when you haven't got anything to give, and you will be surprised that God will supply you with more so you can give over and above. It's that principle of generosity. Then I think we really need to be living like this as God's people. Instead of getting all freaky and sort of in the last days sort of closing ranks, we need to be actually blessing other people more and more. I just want to finish this whole series today with a few words from Daniel. Because we started with Daniel in the book of Daniel. He's the guy that got us on this track, or God, hopefully, by the Holy Spirit. But it was the prophecies of Daniel that caused us to think about all this. And this is the very last book in Daniel. And he's been wrestling with God, and he's had angelic visitations and on the river Tigris. And God's been revealing all sorts of incredible stuff to Daniel, and he's struggling with the whole thing, and it says this in Daniel chapter 12, from this is the second part of verse 1. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Because Daniel had got so weighed down with all the negativity, God was just giving him a little bit of encouragement. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now those who are wise, I want us to get this little bit. This is just the last few thoughts from Daniel. Will shine like the brightness of the heavens. This is for eternity. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. If you think about a star, the other night I went out and it was one of those really clear frosty nights. I think it was Monday or Tuesday night, and for some reason I'd forgotten to feed my dog. I was out there about 10 o'clock and I looked up and the sky was just absolutely brilliant with the stars, and there's just millions and millions of them. Now, we live in a day where we've got electricity and lights, and we don't really appreciate the full extent of the glory of the heavens that's there day night after night, as an example. But Daniel understood that. Wow, I'm going to shine like a star one day, and that's going to be awesome. And God wants us to shine like stars for eternity. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. What a prophecy about going here and there and knowledge increasing and so on and so forth. We're living in a day where that's surely happening. And a little bit, and then God revealed a little bit more to Daniel, and Daniel says, I heard, but I did not understand. He didn't understand it all. Couldn't understand it all, and no, neither do we fully understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all of this? And he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Then he said, many will be purified. You know, we're living through this now. We sometimes have a few hard times and a few struggles and a few ups and downs. We need to realize that that's actually God getting us ready for what's to come. You know, the struggles and the hardships that sometimes we don't expect, we're getting purified, made spotless and refined. We're getting ready because we're the bride. We're the one that Jesus is coming back to. And there's going to be a glory and a beauty in us that we can't even imagine. But Jesus is doing this. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. We need to be people that are wise and looking and seeing and realizing that we're a part of something very, very awesome and significant that's happening as we go about our daily lives right now. It's not a long time away. It's all unfolding before us. As for you, Daniel, go your way until the end, and you will rest. And he did. He died. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. You know, there's an inheritance coming for God's people that we can only just begin to imagine. It's going to be so awesome. And Daniel will be here with us in some way. We'll know these guys. They'll have their inheritance and we'll have ours. And they've done their part, and we need to do ours. Isn't that awesome? So this whole thing about the coming of Jesus and the end times and the days that we live in. Jesus said, "Look, lift up your heads, and look, and be excited and be expectant, because the best is yet to come." So bless you guys. How about if we jump up and worship and just celebrate our awesome God?